Hello, everybody, and welcome to Turn to Page, Season 5, Book 3 of Dungeons & Dragons Endless Quest, Escape the Underdark. I was going to say Escape from the Underdark. Nope. Escape the Underdark. Are you ready to flee?
I'm ready to escape it. I'm not ready to escape from it. So I'm glad that the title is on board with that. I want to stay there, but I don't want to be there, if that makes any sense.
It makes sense. You are a fighter. I don't know if that changes anything for you, but this is the book in which the class that we're playing is the fighter. The most, I don't know. I'm always like, what a boring class to pick. But also so many of the ideas that I have for characters, I'm like, yeah, it makes most sense for them to be a fighter, doesn't it? That's where I often go. We're like, it's like Denny's. You don't pick it, you end up there. You know? Like,
yes.
It happens to you. Being a fighter in D&D, it's something that just happens to you. You wind up there by happenstance, or because you're making a character for somebody playing the first time and they are maybe not super versed in mechanics, and you're like, hey, you hit stuff.
It's also unfortunate that it occupies that role, because looking at this fighter has the source. It's like, you tell me to think of a fighter in my head, and what I think of is like all the cool things that it can't have because it's none of the other classes.
Yeah.
And I forget that it can be this. This guy has, I count 7 weapons.
Yep. Did you count his fists?
I did not. Those are lethal weapons. That's 9. Up to 9 total at this point. Also, like, powerful choice to have 2 of your weapons be like a broadsword and a spear.
Man's forehanding. This is crazy. And he's got the extra curved swords on his belt at the ready.
For as soon as he wants to drop those, like, he's already thrown the spear, like the broadsword is stuck in an ogre's head. Now it's time to draw both of those out in the coolest scene.
And it's also hard to tell, but he has lions on his boots, and that's, you know, you won.
That's plus 2, dude.
Something. I don't know.
They don't put lion heads on items that don't give you a plus to your stats.
Exactly. It's usually like some tanking stuff, you know? They're like, that's like the tank area is lion. I don't know why. Because they're leaders. They go,
it's the tankiest cat.
Is it? It probably is.
I can't
is.
Think of a tankier cat.
I'm pausing to think. I think you're right. I guess that's true. I can't, off the top of my head, think of a tankier cat. Huh. It feels like there should be one. But
it
like,
does.
But there's other ones. I just feel like, you know, feels like a, you know, like a cheetah would be like an archer or something. You know, a cheetah's like a ranger.
Yep.
You feel like you got some nice stealth ones, like a panther for like a rogue.
Absolutely like what I was thinking,
They blend into the night and they sneak up on you.
I'm going to say leopard is charismatic.
I could see that for sure. I feel like a bobcat, like a lynx or a bobcat, might be in the bard realm, because they're like their proportions are a little silly.
They are a little silly.
They've got a little bit of silly proportions for a cat.
It's a little like you're taking a panorama photo of a cat and you just like dragged your hand a little in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a house cat that got too big and then got smushed a bit. And I love them. Anyways, so that's the topic at hand. It is, we're back to Dungeons & Dragons Endless Quest. You're the fighter. We're going to escape the Underdark. Not from, escape the Underdark. Would you like to halt adventurer us? It doesn't work nearly as well as beware us. Beware us is also not even grammatically correct. It's just, and yet it feels less bad than halt adventurer me. So.
Halt adventurer! And read these words before you proceed. I'm gonna editorialize here and skip the opening, as it is the same in every single book, and skip to the point at which we are on the new section. This is not a journey for those who prefer to sit back and let others make the tricky decisions. Yeah. This... Well, there might, as a podcast, for those of you listening, it will be, actually. This is a journey for a leader, a true hero, one who is not afraid to converse with dragons, explore the Underdark, or face the dreaded two-headed Demogorgon. If this doesn't sound like you, turn back and forget you ever came this way. But if this whiff of adventure has whet your appetite, then forward with you, my friend, and good luck.
I mean, it does not sound like me to face a two-headed Demogorgon. If I'm being honest, it does not sound like something I would do. Namely, I don't know what that is in real life.
I don't think I've ever done it.
I don't think I've ever... I don't think I've met anybody who has hunted down a two-headed Demogorgon. Like, even I've even watched, you know, I watched Stranger Things. They all had one head.
One head.
And that's fantasy.
And
that's a fantasy.
You can distract one head. You can blow up one head. They wouldn't have been able to deal with the second head. 11 would have been screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
Also, I love that it's called Escape the Underdark, and it's like, don't be afraid to explore the Underdark. That's what I'm doing now.
Don't you do it. You got to get out, but don't you dare. Coward. You got to leave this place, you coward. All right. The last you remember, you were in a tavern. It's at the start of a D&D adventure, of course. About to embark on your new career as an adventurer. A pale dwarf in a hooded cloak has sat you down at the table to have a drink while he offered you a map to a dungeon he claimed was packed with treasure chests ripe for plundering. But then the room started to go fuzzy and started to spin. You nodded off right then and there at the table, and next you knew, you woke up here. Only you're not exactly sure where here is. It's cold, dark, and dank, and the floor is nothing but bare, rough-hewn rock. So are three of the walls, but the fourth holds a heavy-looking door with a small barred window, just big enough to see out of. You sit up, and the chains that are connected to the manacles on your wrists and belt, locked around your waist, jangle. You swallow. Hard. Wow. Turn to page. Page number one. We hit it on the bingo.
Efficiency.
That is efficient as hell. You swallow hard and realize that an iron collar is constricting your neck. You groan, although you're not sure if it's from the pain in your head or the despair in your heart. As you do, a black-skinned male with long white hair and elven features, a drow, clearly, although you've never met one before, appears in the window in the door, a torch blazing in his hand.
Finally awake, are you?
He says with a vicious grin that bares his sharp white teeth.
Welcome to Velkenvel. Where?
A shiver runs down your spine as you realize just how much trouble you're in.
The Underdark.
A voice says behind you. Escape. Velkenvel.
That's such a lovely name.
It is. Feels German. You spin around and see that you're not alone in your cage. In fact, there's several others trapped in here with you. A deep gnome, an orc, a dwarf, and even a battered drow. The dwarf was the one who spoke to you. The others don't even meet your gaze.
You're trapped in the Underdark,
she says.
Enslaved by the drow.
And there's no way out,
the orc growls.
So don't bother trying to escape.
The guard laughs at the look of growing horror on your face and then walks away to let you stew in it. You scramble after him and grab the bars of the window of the door. You try to rattle them, testing their strength, but they're as solid as the rocks that surrounds you.
Just like an orc to give up, Ront.
The dwarf's voice drips with scorn. The orc snorts at her.
Just like a dwarf to not know when she's beat, Eldith.
I'm not beat.
You tell them all?
Not yet, at least. There has to be some way out of here.
The deep gnome laughs at you.
We're stuck in a giant spider-infested cavern, a half mile deep below the surface of Faerun. None of us even know how we got here, and they work us so hard, the only thing we're good for afterward is sleeping it off.
If you can find a way out, though, we'll follow.
Eldith says, her eyes brimming with her last bit of hope. Bide your time on page 6, fight on page 9, escape the Underdark.
Oh!
On page 17.
Why didn't you say so? Let's simply escape the Underdark.
It's like when you play the lottery, you gotta just say, "Hey, I'd like to win, please." And then you do.
People don't know. They ask you if you'd like to win, but they ask you under their breath as you buy the ticket.
Yeah.
You don't positively affirm afterwards. They don't make you win.
It's I'd like
they
a Powerball,
please. They
don't
do it if you please. Do either, but...
Yeah, I'd like a Powerball, please. Okay, I can help you. Do you want a winning one? Sorry, what was that? You want a Powerball? Okay, gotcha. Bide your time, ooh, fight escape. I mean,
yes.
I feel like we should escape.
I think we should. And also, for what it's worth, I wrote down the map of the numbers for the last book, and they also had the first choice as 6, 9, and 17.
Huh. And what was the right one?
Interesting.
Maybe it's just lucky numbers. We should play the lottery with those numbers. 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. Anyways.
And I would like to win, thank you.
Yes, one winning ticket, please. You know what? I do have to say, I did work at a gas station that sold... That's, you know what? Never mind. Everybody asks to win. Because I worked at a place where I sold lottery tickets. And they, mm-hmm, I would say the regulars would come in and say, one winning ticket, please. So, actually, never mind.
I bet it got funnier every time.
It was so funny. It was just as funny as when I would try and scan something and wouldn't scan and go, I guess it's free. Yeah, it's
That's
so funny.
A good one.
That's a good one. Every single day. This is my PSA. I just got to put something out into the world for all my gas station workers. If you do one of those things, if you, when it doesn't scan, you say, I guess it's free, or I'd like one winning ticket, please. Don't do it the next time, because they won't tell you they don't think it's funny. I'm sorry. Because they hear it every day. Save them one. Save them one. There we go. I've done my service.
Yeah. If you want to say that again, drive to a new gas station.
Yeah. The thing is, it was clever the first time they heard it. It was. But they do hear it every day. you decide to observe closely and seize the soonest chance to break out of your cage. But the next morning, Elda tells you the time is short.
The guards say a merchant caravan is arriving from Mezzo Baranzan in about a week or so. They'll take us all away.
She hushes up when the guards come to escort you and the others off to your first day of work. They set you to breaking big rocks into smaller ones. I mean, it's better than the reverse.
It's so difficult to do the reverse.
It's so tough. No, I guess that's arts and crafts, isn't it? do you want to build a rock snowman? When no one's looking, you grab a handful of gravel and stuff it into your pocket. A plan for escape is starting to form in your mind. Throw rocks at the guard and then run real fast.
It's a shame they equipped us with everything we needed.
A handful of pebbles. Hey-ya! Your arms are sore and your hands are blistered from when the guards haul you back to your cell. You stumble against the door as you enter and shove a chunk of gravel into the door's lock so it can't close properly. I mean, I guess.
Yeah?
Yeah? As the door clangs shut, you spin around and throw yourself against it to keep the guards from inspecting it. The guards laugh as you reach for them through the barred window.
A lot of spirit in
there, one of them says.
Have to beat it out of him.
You snarl at them, but they walk away laughing. Once they're out of sight, you can no longer hear their footsteps echoing around the passageways outside of your cell. You test the door and find that it swings free. The other prisoners gasp in amazement, but you silence them with a finger to your lips.
Shh. Who's with me?
You ask.
What about the guards?
Ront says. Ront.
Ront.
That's a little bit in the, like, I'm not fully comfortable saying it territory. Because, you know?
Mm.
Ah, you ront.
It does sound pejorative.
Yeah.
You'll never get past them.
The battered drow prisoner, whom you've come to know is named Sereth, says with a chuckle.
Not without a distraction.
Fortunately, there's one on the way.
Interjects the deep gnome, who told you his name was Jimjar. Okay, hold on. Now I'm pretty confident that one is pejorative.
Yeah,
that's.
I think he was born, and his parents were like, "This one's a Jimjar." He was like, "Ah."
I mean, you can't. You cannot trick me. I know that evolves into Monferno. But
No, you can't trick me. I collected those in Banjo-Tooie.
Hold on. Yu-Gi-Oh card. Jinzo. Okay.
Yeah, you can't fool me. You can't reveal trap cards while I'm on the field.
You can't fool me. Oh my god. It actually. And yet, the biggest stretch became the most fitting. This dude's Jim Jar, and he steps forward, stroking his thin beard. He would.
Are you talking about?
Eldith demands. Jim Jar shoots her a wary look.
I'm a scout.
A spy, you mean?
You know what it... Sorry, again, but... Jim Jar... This really does actually accurately feel like everyone at the table's player character names. Like, you get through, and then you get to the one who's like, I'm Jim Jar, okay? Yep.
There's always a Jim Jar, there's always an Eldith, there's always a Sariel, and there's always a Ront at the table.
Yeah, there's...
And if you're not the... If you don't know who the Ront at the table is,
you're
buddy,
the Ront.
It's you.
I will say, from time to time, I've been the Jim Jar. Here's the thing. I like to present as a Jim Jar, but secretly be a Ront. Like,
ooh,
I think that's kind of a fun angle to make them think you're a Jim Jar, but then go Ront.
Mm-hmm. I like characters who think they're a Sariel, but like really they're like a Jim Jar and everyone knows it.
The fact that I actually do think that these do pretty accurately. These accurately encapsulate like the types of players of D&D. These names, it actually really does.
Oh, absolutely,
100%. Anyways, a spy, you mean? Says Sereth. Jim Jar ignores him.
I was on my way back to Blinding Stone when I was captured. The Drow would never normally capture me, but I was in a hurry to report in.
Why?
You wonder what could scare Jim Jar so much that he'd let himself stumble into a pack of Drow slavers.
What news could you have?
Something is stirring deep in the Underdark,
Jim Jar says with a shiver.
Something evil.
Heard rumors about that too,
Ront says.
Some kind of demon war?
What does that have to do with us?
You ask. You don't have long to make your way out of here, and you don't care to waste your time on idle gossip.
The war is boiling over,
Jim Jar says.
It's rising up through the Underdark.
And you think it's going to reach here tonight?
Jim Jar shrugs.
It should have been here already. It might never come at all. Who's to know what's planned in the deepest parts of the Underdark?
You're not much help.
You're leaving either way, right?
Jim Jar points at the door with his chin.
What's stopping you?
What's stopping you? You push on the door and it swings open quietly on well-oiled hinges.
Nothing.
You say.
What's stopping you?
I'm going to point everywhere with my chin now. That's why they say keep your chin up. So you're always pointing.
Pointing to the sky.
You always can find out what to do north is if you keep your chin up.
Oh, my magnetic chin.
That, you can't fool me. I know that's a DC Comics villain.
Yeah, Batman, your bullets,
this is an area where I guess Batman used bullets, are all attracted to my chin. You'll never score a headshot.
Oh, that hurts, but it does not hit my head. Ooh, I can only take so many of those still.
Oh, no, stop, please.
Okay, bad idea. Oh, jeez.
I give uncle. Is that the thing? I know, like, it's regional. The word that you have to say to get... It is uncle for United States.
Uncle.
Cool.
Yeah, it's probably unk now in 2024, though. anyways. please stop
shooting
me. Is
that short for uncool? I don't know.
No, it's short for uncle.
Like, oh!
If you're calling someone unk, you're saying, like, all right, you know, like, you're acting like an uncle in, like, a... You know, you're acting old, but trying to be with it, kind of a...
Oh, God, it's Okay Boomer?
It's very Okay Boomer. Yep, it's 100%.
You telling me I'm going to get Okay Boomed? I'm going to get sideswept by this?
Okay, Unk. I'm so glad to be the first to do it, at least, because it's going to happen a lot, and it's going to get so annoying. By the time this podcast is out, I'm already annoyed by it.
I'm glad to have been unked for the first time by you.
Which page are we on? Are we on this one?
Yeah.
Just had to do some camera fixing. The others stare at Shu and the open door for a long moment. Then a horrible screech echoes in the distance. Jim Jar smiles and taps his ear.
Demons,
he says.
Right on time.
Now's our chance,
you tell the others.
Let's go.
We need to get rid of our shackles first,
Jim Jar says. He pulls a lockpick from inside his cheek and... Why did you not early... Anyways. And sets to work. In a few moments, you're all free. So Jim Jar of you. And that is so Jim Jar. Classic Jim Jar.
That's...
Did you ask the DM if you could have a lockpick in your cheek? Did you run that
no,
by
No, I
the
forgot
DM?
I had it on my character sheet. It's like, it's such a Jim Jar player thing to do.
He pulls a lockpick from inside his cheek and sets to work. In a few moments, you're all free. Somewhere in the distance, drow soldiers shout, but the horrible screams only grow louder.
We should go north,
Jim Jar suggests as he points his chin, right? Jim Jar suggests as he bolts from the cell.
To Menzo Baron Zone,
Ront says.
Forget it. South.
Towards Graxlugder. Grackleste? Grackleste. I don't know. How would you say that?
Grackleste, I'd say Grackleste, Grackle, or maybe Gracklestug, if maybe they're going, I don't know, Gracklestug, Grackleste.
Yeah, that's Ugg. I like Ugg.
Ugg. That's a Grackleste is absolutely like a treat you get if like Krampus deems you worthy. It's not a great treat, but it's better than what he would do to you if you were bad.
It's a candy that you would get in the Neopets land that was themed after Egypt.
Absolutely. Do you think they have a neat adventure book? Anyways, we'll figure that out later. Elvis shakes her head.
Oh, Mama. I'd rather take my chances with the drow than with the Dwergar.
Jim Jar chuckles at them.
Either works for me, just as long as we get out of here.
He looks to you to decide.
So, champ, which way is it?
Head north towards Menzo Baranzan on page 26, or head south towards Gracklestug on page 28.
Really interestingly, previous path was also 26 and 28 as the choices that branched off of 17. I wonder if the books are formatted the same like that.
Yeah, maybe. Like, do this roughly this amount of... I mean, I have a feeling they will start to diverge later as the further in the book, but that is kind of wild. Because otherwise, maybe we could figure out exactly what the correct path is. But
although, maybe... That would not... I'm just going to immediately terminate my thoughts in that area because I do not want to accidentally...
Oh, I would not metagame.
...exclusively know the correct path.
That'd be boring.
Menzo Baranzan. I almost don't want to go there just because Jim Jar wants to. I'm Jim Jar hate drafting.
Yeah. It's tough. Menzo Baranzan is like... Jim Jar wants to go there. Minus 1 point.
Mm.
Grackleslug, Stug, we have to say Grackleslug more times.
Yep.
It's like, tough one. Let's go 28, though. Anti-Jim Jar train. Now it's definitely pejorative.
Yep.
If it wasn't, it is now, isn't it?
South we go!
You say as you emerge from the cell.
I've had my fill of the drow. The further away from Menzo Baranzan, the better.
Eldith shakes her head.
The Dwergar of Grackleslug are no better. I wish you well, but I can't bring myself to go anywhere near there.
With that, she turns and flees in the other direction. you turn to Jim
Didn't
Jar.
Did she recommend it? Maybe. Oh, no, she recommended against Grackles, though.
You turn to Jim Jar and give him a nod. Oh, uh-oh, wait. Oh, no.
I think Jim Jar wanted to go to either of them. He was fine.
Yeah.
Lead on.
The deep gnome flashes you a cocky smile and then heads off at a steady trot. He swims upstream. You follow hot on his heels, and Ront and Sereth bring up the rear. The sounds of battle grow more distant as you go, and you feel relieved that at least you did not run square into whatever kind of fight is tearing apart the Velkenvelve. Let them destroy one another while you still find your way to freedom. Jim Jar leads you deeper into the Underdark. That's the opposite of what we want. It takes days of travel to find the Dwergar city, and by the time you get there, you're thirsty and hungry and tired. But at least you're free.
Follow my lead.
What have we been doing? Jim Jar says as you approach the checkpoint on the edge of the city.
The Dwergar are slavers too, but they're also pretty dumb.
Wait.
What are you saying, Jim Jar? What are you saying, Jim Jar? I think they're saying same as the drow that captured us. but unlike them, they're more dumb.
Yes.
I think is what he's trying to say. As much as I'm anti Jim Jar, I don't want him to get clip farmed.
Yes. I do like that our character's response in canon is, wait, what?
Oh, wait, that's actually, wait, you say to the deep gnome?
What?
I didn't realize. But then, by then, it's too late. The guards, gray-skinned dwarves, fully armed and armored, hail you and demand that you step forward. You exchange worried glances with Sereth and Runt, but not seeing a better choice, the three of you follow Jim Jar as he strolls towards the guards. Turn to page 21. He's going to sell assassinate.
I forgot for a moment that the Dwerga are deep dwarves. That explains, Eldith's unwillingness.
Yeah.
It's like asking some matter if it wants to interact with antimatter. Like, no, buddy, that's like important. I don't.
I've decided when I was a kid that I can't do that. Let's see. Jim Jar signals the guards and the four of them surround you and usher you to the Dark Lake district of the city. They escort you to a gigantic cavern, which, unlike the rest of the Underdark, is well lit by scores of lamps and is as hot as an oven.
This place is fueled by a red dragon.
Jim Jar, you can't just keep making stuff up without running it by the DM.
And also, I'm the Prince of Hell. My dad is the King of Hell, and I inherited all his abilities.
All right. Jim Jar whispers to you as the guards hand you off to another group of the Dwergar. They wear crimson priest robes and regard you with a mixture of suspicion and hope. Their leader introduces himself as Gartakar Zundorn. Yeah, that's a D&D name. And his group as the Keepers of the Flame then explains that they have a problem. They have a PR problem. Their search engine optimization is off the charts bad.
Mm-hmm. Keepers of the Flame, too generic. Yeah, you gotta name yourself something.
Yeah, it's like, come on. It's just, you can't have the of the. And like, they're not gonna find you by publisher either. Gartakar Zundorn Productions? Come on.
No one's Googling that.
No one's Googling
that. Or binging in this world.
Yeah, that's true. That's what Jim Jar told me, at least. Does the local tavern have Bing? Anyways.
It's just a guy in the corner who can answer most questions.
I've seen you've come to Bing, the sorcerer. Oracle of the skies. What would you like to Bing today? Yes, I know, it's a little bit self-absorbed to say.
Cat meme video 2011 frowny face.
Oh, that's a good one. Here you go. Let's see. Someone has stolen the egg of their dragon lord, Femberchild. I'm gonna pronounce this very clearly. Femberchild is how I'm going to very clearly enunciate this one. For no reason, I'm just gonna call him Thember. Me and the homies just call him Thember.
My favorite thing about his name is that, like, the start of it is the Ember, and then the end of it, Child, that is the word hot in French.
I mean, yeah.
It's literally the Ember Hot as a name for a dragon.
This one thing I love, and I'm earnestly saying this, one thing I love about the books is they do actually feel, in a way, like they came from someone's, like, D&D campaign that they were running. Like, mm-hmm. They feel like that. I know a lot of these names are just, like, they are in the lore. But, like, the way that a lot of it comes out, and especially, like, some of the dialogue, and just, it feels like you can tell that the person played D&D and is writing a book as someone who played D&D, and not just someone who, like, sometimes you're like, they've read a lot of D&D lore. You know,
yep.
Which that's, I'm really excited that, like, there is some campaign energy going on in these books, mm-hmm. more than just D&D lore energy, which is also good. But this has both. You get the best of both worlds. Hannah Montana, chilling
also,
out.
That
take
was
it.
The dragon that was in the D&D movie.
Yeah, chilling out. Take it slow. Then the Ember, whoa.
In French.
Anyways, from the next chamber comes a roar loud enough to shake the walls.
From the next chamber.
If you can recover it, they'll provide a guide to help you escape the Underdark. From the next chamber comes a roar loud enough to shake the walls.
Enter, wayfarers!
The four of you do so and come face to face with Thember, red-scaled and towering, and fresh.
Outsiders seem to be the only ones I can trust.
He bellows.
You have been offered a deal, and I will have your answer now.
Look for the thieves on 31, refuse to help the dragon, putting their thumb on the scale there, 33, play along, for now, on 36.
The dragon lord. I mean, they are in the Underdark, so, like, I don't necessarily want good things for them, but it's an egg, it's a baby. It's a little baby guy.
It's true. I feel like priority number one is save the little guys.
Yeah. I think we should, like, go direct for it. Not even play along for now. Like, get the egg.
Yeah. So look for the thieves on 31.
Also, yes, 31, 33, and 36 were also the previous.
Huh. Are we predictable, too? Because if for you to know that, that means that we went on that route.
it does. If we also took 31 on this one. We've lined up perfectly so far, then.
Uh-oh.
I predict at the end of this, we will be given the choice between page 38 and 35.
Oh my god.
Sorry, 38 and 45.
I will say. You and your companions exchange, what choice do we have, glances?
Of course we'll help.
You pipe up. Gartakar Zundorn says that he suspects that members of the local thieves guild, the Grey Ghosts. That's like what I would have named my little league baseball team. We're the great ghosts. Yeah. It would just be the Lightning. That they're all of the teams in the league are the Lightning. Like, we know that.
Mm-hmm.
Every team is the Lightning.
It makes you play better to be named that.
It's exactly.
The only way to be average across the board is everyone has access to that name at all times.
Yeah. Everyone is the Lightning. If everyone's the Lightning, then no one's the Lightning. Where was I? Grey Ghosts either stole the egg or know who did.
Then leave us to find them.
You demand. The priests allow you your freedom. They give you the pins that mark you as protected by the dragon.
Just keep your eye out for anyone suspicious.
They say. The four of you set off. Most of the people in the city are Dwergar, Grey Dwarves, and they give you a wide berth, unaccustomed as they are to discourse with strangers. As you skulk about the place, doing your best to endure the excess heat from the fires Thember provides to fuel Gracklestug. I love fantasy. Gracklestug's legendary forges, you spy a Darrow. Okay, now that's pejorative.
So that actually is in like Australian slang. It's not as pejorative as to not be able to discuss it. It for derelict. Like it's literally like broken or broke.
Interesting. Huh. About the size of a Dwergar. He has bluish-white skin and eyes that dance with madness. Turn to page 34. We broke the chain. Maybe. Suspicious you, Jimjar, Sereth, and Ront follow the Darrow, sorry for saying it, into what you suspect by the abundance of Faerzris. What now?
I've no clue.
F-A-E-R-Z-R-E-S-S.
Faerzris. I'm going to Google this word because it hasn't got a capital in front of it. So
there needs to be an umlaut in this word. I'm just putting that out there. So I'd understand it more if there was an umlaut here. Faerzris.
Oh, it's a magical radiation found only in the Underdark, a remnant of high magic that helped shape the Underdark itself.
But yeah, we all know that. We all know that.
Yeah. Give that a capital.
Give it a capital.
Electricity doesn't have a capital E.
It should. I've been campaigning for it. By the abundance of Faerzris are the Whirlstone Tunnels. Listening as he argues with himself. The caverns are a series of dark, twisty tunnels that are easy to get lost in, but you do your best to follow quietly. Eventually, you enter a brilliantly lit chamber with two low, rocky shelves. On one stands a large black obelisk, and on the other a huge egg. The dragon's egg. A humongous floating head with one big eye. Wait a minute. If we follow the same path, do we end? We end up at Xanathar? A humongous floating head with one big eye and four more on long eye stalks. A creature called a spectator. shrieks at you as you approach. Been there. And another Darrow, okay now, tells you to stay where you are if you want to live.
Look.
You tell her.
We don't want any trouble. We shouldn't even be here.
She and the monster glare at you for a moment, and then she makes you an offer. She'll escort you to the surface if you do her a favor. Accept the offer on page 38, or grab the dragon's egg instead on 45. Were these the pages?
They were, yeah, 38 and 45.
Wow.
Now, if we take 45 here, I'll be looking for 57, 62, and 64 as our following choices. But we should probably discuss the choice based on its own merits rather than numbers.
It is wild that we have ended on the same path going based off of how we would want to interact with the story, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the pages in front, those pages in front of me. You know, that is wacky, though. The thing also, is, I do want to save the dragon's egg.
Yeah,
that's what I would want to choose.
What do we accept the offer to no longer save the dragon egg? No. Our whole vibe, the entire time through turn to page, has been we will make all of the available dumb decisions on the noble path to save, like, baby animal first, and then we'll go back up the tree for any variation we had to do.
Pretty much. So, 45? You knock over... Can we please tone it down? You knock over the Darrow guarding the dragon's egg and pick up the egg. You had no idea it'd be so heavy. Dragons are probably famously... famously light eggs. A ray fires out of one of the spectator's eye stalks, and suddenly you can barely lift your arms, much less a massive egg. You drop it on the ground, breathing a sigh of relief when it doesn't crack. Sereth picks up a rock and belts the spectator in its central eye.
That's how you deal with those.
I want so many eyes that something has to be referred to as my central eye.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I want to have excess eyes.
I know.
I want it to not be a problem if someone pokes a couple out.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be nice.
Like, I'm often. I love that I have two.
Yeah.
But, like, I'd love to have another backup.
Not to look a gift horse in the cornea, but, you know, it just kind of, I don't know. Everyone's been saying I have four eyes, I have glasses, but I don't. Mm. And I've been being told that my whole life, so I tell myself, I look in the mirror, you have four eyes. And then when I'm not wearing glasses, I don't.
Dude, I understand you. I still have four eyes. I haven't even lost my baby eyes yet.
Terrifying. that's subreddit that's like it's like two sentence horror or something. it's like that, which is a compliment, because I could have said it's that one subreddit. Oh my god, one time we should just like say screw the books and we should just go to that one subreddit. It's like, it's people who are trying to tell a scary story, but it's always really bad.
I would love to do that.
It's so Halloween? Funny to me. That sounds fun. I don't think it's this podcast though. I don't know. Well, maybe we'll just throw it at the end around Halloween. We'll just throw it at the end or something like that. It's just terrible horror. Like, they try and do something funny, but it's just, or like scary, but it just ends up being like
hilarious. How not.
Yeah, it's like the, and then his eyes started bleeding, like, mm-hmm. kind of, like, over and over.
So wait, it's the horror version of the romance novel She Breasted Boobily Down the Stairs.
Yes.
Gotcha.
It's like
it's a Mandel Handel Cardor.
Exactly, I think.
Oh, that was a quote-unquote creepypasta.
Yes.
It was passed around for a long period of time, but it was malformed so much that eventually it was, instead of, like, the man popped up behind her in the back seat, like, end line was literally just, man door, hand hook, car door!
Yeah. It's basically like that. It's like failed creepypastas, usually pretty clearly made by, like, a teen.
Yeah,
you know, trying out something for the first time. But anyways, that's how you deal with those, he says. The creature flies off, wailing in pain, and you feel the strength returning to your arms. With Ront's help, you pick up the egg again, and you all race out of the chamber. As you go, the Darrow you knocked down, he's on the ground, man, stands up and starts shouting,
Grey ghosts, thieves of our treasure, don't let them get away!
You storm out of the Whirlstone tunnels with what sounds like a small army of Dwargar and Darrow, okay, tramping after you. We'll reclaim it.
Wow, now you're calling him tramps as well? Jeez, buddy.
You got a Darrow stamp. Hey, anyways, you glance back and see a dozen dirty thieves hot. Okay, this is feeling really charged.
It is.
Hot on your heels, each of them wielding a dagger that they'd love to bury in your back. Wishing to do whatever you can to avoid that, you try and move quicker. But the egg is heavy in your arms, and you find it nearly impossible to pick up any sort of speed.
We must hurry!
Yeah, state the obvious, Jim Jar. Jim Jar says as he grabs the egg in the middle and... Wait, grabs the egg in the middle and tries to help move you along faster. I got you. He's assisting on the carry.
They're gaining on us!
Sarath, I want to... Never mind. Okay, too many diversions. But I want to see in American football someone just, like, assisting.
Let me help you out with that.
I just want to see two people, like, carrying the ball together. Just like...
Dude, that looks heavy.
That looks heavy. Are you okay?
I got you.
I got you, Brokis. All right, let's get this goal together. I'd watch that. Anyways.
I would too.
We must
camaraderie.
Exactly. We must hurry, Jim Jar says as he grabs the egg in the middle and tries to help you move along faster. Say that. They're gaining on us. Sarath takes up a position on the side of the egg opposite Jim Jar. Okay. And with the four of you working together, the egg doesn't seem so heavy. See, American football sports teams just have everybody carry the ball. There's nothing.
It's an unbeatable strategy. Everyone simply holds the ball, and no matter who the enemy team tackles, it's not enough.
You can't tackle all of us. It's like, oh my god, that's like an NFL blitz play that I would make. Anyways, you start to think that you might be able to outdistance the Grey Ghosts after all. That's when the spectator comes flying over their heads and its main eye, bloodshot and watery, fires off more rays from its eye stalks. One of them catches Ront square in the back. You see the flesh on his face erupt into blisters. No, not Ront. The orc lets loose with a horrible howl of pain, but he keeps his hold on the dragon's egg. And just as important, keeps running. You race ahead around a bend in the corridor and you spot someone up ahead. A lot of someones. And first, you worry that they are a group of the city's guards who will attack because they're in too much of a hurry to see that you are wearing Thember's pins. Then you realize the people are charging towards you are actually keepers of the flame.
We're about to be in the middle of a big battle.
You shout to the others.
Which way should we go?
I say we give the egg to the keepers.
Jim Jar calls. Sarath shakes his head.
Throw it back to the ghosts.
Throw it back. Ront starts to twerk. Ront laughs at them both.
Are you sure we can't just keep it for ourselves?
I'm really picturing Thanos.
Watch me throw this in a circle.
I'm really picturing Thanos twerk gif. Right. but with an orc. So much. While he's saying that. Anyways, give the egg back to the Grey Ghost on page 57. That sounded familiar. Keep the egg for yourselves on page 62. Give the egg to the Keepers of the Flame on page 65. All of those the same?
64 last time is the final one, but all of the rest are the same.
There is a sign that you can change the future. Never give up. Never surrender.
It's never set in stone.
Never set in stone. Butterfly Effect. Lost Season 5. Anyways.
Now on Netflix.
Now on Netflix. Now Lost streaming now on Netflix. Egg back to the Grey Ghosts. No, keep the egg for yourselves. Give the eggs to the egg to the Keepers of the Flame. 65.
So, like, admittedly,
yes.
I don't know how to raise a dragon, and like, its dad might, and the people who worship dragons might, but also, like, I don't know. Cool to have a dragon.
It's cool. I do have a movie that I could recommend to help you tame a dragon. I have actually three.
What's it called?
How to Tame a Dragon in 10 Days.
Oh, how to tame a dragon without really trying.
Yeah, how to lose a guy in and a dragon in 10 days.
How to tame a dragon and influence people.
50 first dragon dates.
That sounds delightful.
I'd date 50 love dragons. It. Along came Dragon, a completely different movie. Anyways, I don't know. I would like to try and keep it for ourselves, under the assumption that that path ends with us having a dragon baby.
Let's do it.
A dragon baby. But could go wrong. You spy a passageway off to your left and dart into it, leading with the others.
What in the name of all the forgotten gods are you doing?
I don't remember. Sereth shouts at you.
Getting away from being stuck in the middle of a battle!
You shout back.
But where are we going?
Asks Ront, twerking.
Anywhere but there!
I've got 10 gold pieces that we don't make it out of this one alive,
says Jim Jar.
And if you win that, how are you going to collect on it?
Sereth says with a sneer.
Right.
Jim Jar says.
Better make it 20.
You ignore Jim Jar and keep charging ahead through the tunnels, turning this way and that way in effort to throw off your pursuers. A huge roar resounds behind you as the Keepers of the Flame clash with the gray ghosts. You can hear some of the combatants peel off and come after you, ignoring the larger fight. You need to get out of here, and quickly, otherwise Jim Jar really might be collecting on his 20 gold in the next life.
Keep running!
You call to the others. Ront refuses. He drops his side of the egg, and then the rest of you readjust to compensate and keep it from rolling out of your hands. You open your mouth to shout at him, not understanding why he would choose to opt out of the heavy lifting now of all times.
Go!
He shouts at you.
I'll take care of them.
He says, throwing it back.
They're all entranced.
You would love to protest Ront's bravery, asterisk, but you don't have time. Instead, you set your lips into a grim smile and give him a nod of thanks before you set off again. The journey is more challenging with one fewer person to share the burden of the egg. At least there's more time to find your way through the passages, though the cost is too high for your liking.
He's been spoiling for a fight ever since we escaped our cell.
Sereth says, as though that makes it okay that you have left the man, or orc in this case, behind.
Looks like he got one,
says Jim Jar. You can hear the orc growl like a hungry bear, and somewhere behind you, a pack of Dwergar let loose with horrified screams. Yes, I am picturing it still. You're grateful to Ront for helping you lose your pursuers, but you wonder how he'll ever manage to find you again. You just can't worry about that detail right now. All you can concentrate on is putting one foot in front of the other and finding a way out of here. Turn to page 68.
From behind the hall, from back near the Dwergar, you hear someone comment,
I mean, I've heard of making it clap, but that's a round of applause.
You, Sereth, and Jim Jar round one last bend and emerge into a blazing hot cavern. At the far end glows the fires of one of Grackleslug's massive forges, and Dwergar work over a pool of molten metal. Startled by your entrance, they take one look at you and scatter. You let them weave their way around you. Unlike Ront, you're not looking for a fight. You hear shouts echoing back the way you came.
I think they're still after us,
you tell the others.
There's no other way out of here,
says Sereth.
We're trapped.
We still have the egg,
says Jim Jar.
That has to be worth something. We can use it as a bargaining chip, right?
Sereth scowls at him.
Oh, we can threaten to toss it in the fire if they don't let us go.
You feel the weight of the egg in your hands. You don't have long to make up your mind. Threaten to throw the egg into the forge on 78, or see if you can cut a deal on page 84. Here's my question. I've played Pokemon Snap, and in order to hatch the Moltres egg, you do need to throw an apple at it, or a Pester Ball, I can't remember, and throw it into the volcano so that it hatches and becomes Moltres. Is it a bad thing to throw the egg into the forge?
Who knows? It's either going to be good for the egg or it's going to be neutral for the egg. It will not be bad for the egg. So if our plan is to threaten them by them thinking that something will be bad about putting the egg in the forge, I think they'll just be like, yeah, okay, whatever. It'll be slightly warm when we pick it up later. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, I'm so sorry. I don't like usually referring to things that are off the path that we're currently on, but there's a name on the other side of the page that you simply need to see. Yeah, that's it.
Bloop, bloop, bean.
Their name is literally Bloop, Bloop, Bean.
Jimjar than Jimjar.
Yeah. Jimjar would look at that person and go, what a Jimjar. Like,
you gotta try, like, come on. They put effort into this campaign. They spent 3 hours writing this. And you show up with Plupine? At least it's
love
not
it.
Plupine. Blue, blue, please,
they're
clean.
One, they are literally like three letters
so
away
close.
From that.
Blue,
maximum.
Blue, blue, pee, peen, peen. Just, wow. Okay.
I'm so sad we're not on that path now.
Yeah, there's blue, 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 peen, yuck, yuck, and spider bait on the other page. We really failed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what ending we get, we failed. All right.
84.
Egg in the forge or cut a deal. Where you at?
Do we want to, I don't know, do we want to prove that the egg is good for the forge or vice versa?
I would like to give it the opportunity.
Let's do it. 78.
On the count of three, you, Sarath, and Jimjar position the egg over the molten metal pool in the stone basin at the edge of the forge. But as you wait for your pursuers to catch up, the egg stirs in your hands. In alarm, all three of you let go when it splashes into the glowing hot pool. Okay.
Threaten to throw it in and then immediately do.
You barely manage to dodge out of the way of the liquefied steel. Horrified, you stare at the egg, wondering just how long it'll take for it to burn. But it doesn't seem to be catching fire. In fact, it's starting to glow. A moment later, the egg bursts open, sending scorching hot shards of shell everywhere. You duck away from the shrapnel, then immediately pop up again to see what happened to the egg. A baby dragon sits among the remnants of the exploded egg. Okay, the phrasing, I mean. The remnants of the exploded egg. And it stares up at you with wide, questioning eyes that lock onto yours. Its lips curl up in what you can only believe is a smile, and it lets out a cry that sounds something like joy. The dragon leaps from the forge and lands in your arms. It's so hot that it almost burns you. But the creature's skin quickly cools as it begins to lick your face. We've won, rats. Plup, plup, peen, peen, who?
Yuck, yuck, what?
Yuck, yuck, what? Spider bait I've never?
This is where it's at. And this is just a winged dog.
Yep. The creature's skin quickly cools as it begins to lick your face. A team of gray ghosts, cut and bloody, burst into the chamber and gasp at you in horror. You turn to them, holding the wriggling dragon before you.
This isn't what it seems. You hatched the dragon?
One of the ghosts says.
Okay.
Says Sarah.
It's exactly what it seems.
Joss Whedon.
They're right behind me, aren't they?
The gray ghosts storm towards you, and the dragon lets out a gout of fire that burns them all in their tracks. Mama! Those who don't fall down screaming turn tail and flee. As you move towards the exit, the dragon lets loose with its fiery breath again, and soon, the chamber is empty of enemies.
I think we just found our ticket out of here,
Jimjar says. He reaches out to pet the dragon, but leaps back when the creature nips at his fingers. Dragon knows trouble, you know. You proceed out of the chamber and head straight into the Underdark. Wait, carrying... what? Just checking the name of the book. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Into the Underdark, carrying the heavy little dragon in your arms. With the dragon's help, nothing can stand in your way. You commandeer your wheelbarrow to cart the dragon around in and resume your trip upwards. Within a few days, you make it to the surface. Once you're out in the open air, the dragon takes off into the sky to stretch its wings.
So that just happened. Think it's ever coming back?
You ask the others. Nobody answers. It doesn't matter. It does. It does.
Yeah.
Nobody answers. It matters. You're all free now. The end. No fail.
No fail. Literal 100% full path.
And it still took a respectable chunk. And honestly, I do not believe that there's a better ending than that. And I do not want to have any ending sullied by that.
Very, very much on board the full same. I do think it's fun that, like, one of the other times we were looking for, like, a good... I think it was the most recent one. We were looking for a different, an alternative good ending. And then there just was a route that was like, you freed a bunch of slaves.
Yeah.
It's just like, what? There's another? In this one, I feel like we have done as well as possible. We've taken two evil sides, pitted them against one another. They bloodied one another. We freed a baby animal. And then also, it liked us and we used to go to the surface and maybe it's our friend now.
Yeah.
100%.
And Jimjar died.
Jim Jarl just died off camera. It's just like a black and white screen of like Jim Jarl's face, like halfway through saying a joke, and it's Jim Jarl pooped himself to death 3 days after getting back to the surface.
Yeah. Since the recording of this season, none of the couples are still together, and Jim Jarl died.
In memory of Jim Jarl. In the arms of the angels.
Anyways, yeah.
I can't say we spent much of our time escaping the Underdark. It was mostly exploring the Underdark.
Many times we went to the Underdark.
We escaped.
Yes.
Yes.
Most of the time was spent going further into the Underdark. But I don't care because Dragon there and saved it and baby and licked our face and killed people.
Oh, so many people.
Yep.
Ugh, we gotta learn how to train that. I gotta rent Taming of the Shrew, you said?
Yeah. I think that's what it was.
Yeah. I'll get on watching that series.
All right. That sounds good. I have no notes on the book. It's good. It's great. I liked it. I liked the party. I liked the adventure. I liked the ending. No notes. Beginning to end, I liked it.
I agree on all points, except there is one additional note I would like to add, which is we were a fighter, I guess. No point did anything that never came into it.
Yeah. But Raps, let's be honest, in the out of combat parts of D&D, weren't we just the most fighter ever? In the sense,
yep,
our role was completely irrelevant to the... Yep.
We watched someone pick the locks. We watched someone else steal the dragon. We needed help carrying it and running away.
Yep. We had someone else do the talking and convince. You were just there to be the leader.
Started,
yep.
I could have hit them with all four of my weapons in the same turn.
Yep. You were the useless character outside of combat who was generally inspirational and said leadership, you know, some kind of leadership speech, but didn't do anything.
In lieu of a paladin, I'm here.
Yes. And then in combat, boy, I can hit a lot of times and do then they're the damage. Yeah. Not very fighter. I thought it was it felt like an afterthought. Maybe in the other path. Maybe in the pee pee poo poo line.
Perhaps. I can't believe that was actually its name.
I was
losing it the entire
what
time.
Exactly?
Plu plu peen. Plu plu peen. Oh, sorry. There's also a blop bit odd. Blop blip pod.
Wait, is his name? No, I think his name is Plu Plu Peen Blopin Plod. Maybe.
You know what? The only way this makes sense to me is if his character is a flump. I can't explain what a flump is. We don't have enough time. Flump. Cool. Thing in Underdog. They're like a floating brain, and they're like positive.
Yeah? Blop, blip, pod, and her worry. Yeah, I have no idea.
No clue. Wild name. Great book.
Wild name. Great book. Love it. You know who else has a wild name? The person who's supported this episode, maybe. Who is it?
The executive producer of this episode has one of the wildest names I've ever heard. I've never encountered this name before in my entire life because this name is Kat-rina? Kat-rina? This is a cat? No, hang on. That's a K. That's a K at the start. Katrina? Katrina?
Poo poo pleen pleen.
Oh, right. Going by a nom de plume on this. Katrina, thank you very much for being the executive producer of this episode of Turn to Page. The executive producer is taken from at or above the hardcover tier over on the Turn to Page Patreon. That's patreon.com/turntopagecast. The force that allows us to make this as close to as is possible for us a zero-sum output of money, which is eventually. Until then, though. Actually, not until then. That's a bad segue piece. Until then, we appreciate your support. We still appreciate your support, regardless, to each and every one of you supporting over there. But a special thanks this episode to Katrina.
Thank you very much, Katrina. You are intrinsically tied to Plu Plu Peen forever. Congratulations. And thank you for the support over on Patreon. It's true. God, it'd be nice if we broke even. That is absolutely, that is the thing. If we would break even, that would be absolutely sick. It'd be fantastic. We can get, you know, these books. We needed these books. We are recording this over Discord visually. I have the book in front of me. We have a webcam pointing at it. That is how we are doing this. And it is not, even that is not something we'd do if we couldn't get the support over on Patreon. So it's very helpful so we can actually do this season. If you want to help out with that, help so we can get, you know, the nice art for the seasons, all that stuff. Patreon.com/turntopagecast. It is so helpful. Hear me when I say it. It's an absolute miracle, you angel children. Thank you. If you want to help in a free way and be an angel child in a different way, youtube.com/@turntopagecast. Another way that we can, in a, like a more passive way, no direct, direct support financially. If we could hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, we can monetize that channel. That is a very helpful way to help recuperate some of the funds that we're putting in as well. So if you could go and subscribe over there, especially likes, comments, all that stuff are very useful, but especially subscribing right now until we hit that 1,000, especially, that'd be really, really helpful so we can apply for the partnership and it can hopefully make some money back that way. That'd be really, really nice. Alas, that is that. It's gonna do it here for this week on Turn to Page. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Bloop bloop bean. Bye bye.
Blip blip odd.